So, good morning. My name is Keegan. I'm a graduate student at the University of Vermont, and this is my thesis work. The objective of this study was to quantify the differences in surface and subsurface water and nutrient losses between a cover crop field and a non-cover crop field, as well as the impact that winter rye would have on corn silage production. Our hypotheses were that mean nutrient losses will be lower in cover crop plots, surface runoff volumes will be lower in cover crop plots, and that total forage harvested from the cover crop plots will be greater. The study site is located in Chazy, New York, which is about 10 miles south of the border to Canada. There are 4 quarter-acre plots with the capability to collect and monitor surface and subsurface water losses. The plots are on about a 5% slope, and they transition from an excessively drained outwash soil at the upslope to a poorly drained silty clay at the toe slope. Each plot had its own manhole, which housed 2 5-gallon buckets, one for the surface and one for the tile. These buckets were modified with V-notch weirs and pressure transducers that allowed for stage discharge relationships to be determined. For large events, typically longer than 12 hours, we deployed ISCO auto samplers. For shorter events, it would just go out a couple times and take some grab samples. So 2 plots were randomly assigned the cover crop treatment. So those are plots 1 and 3. And the winter rye was drilled in at 112 kilograms per hectare on October 7th in 2015, and then October 11th in 2016. And our statistical analysis was a parity test with blocking using JMP. This is just a schematic of the drainage pathways for surface and subsurface. So each plot was individually tile drained with 3 laterals spaced at 7.5 meters that then drained to a main and to the manhole and 5-gallon bucket. Surface collection was a 12-inch PVC pipe cut in half and placed at the toe slope that then drained the surface runoff to the manhole and the 5-gallon bucket. Here's just a picture of the plot. So this is the surface trench. Right in front of the surface trench was some gravel that just helped hold the soil in place. We never witnessed the gravel acting as a filter. Also, you can see some winter rye growing. Here's a picture from the wintertime, another angle of the surface trench. And over here is manholes and some auto samplers deployed. At the time of planting of the corn silage, 168 kilograms per hectare of starter fertilizer was banded. With the corn, this equated to 16 kilograms of phosphorus per plot. And then between the time of harvest of the corn silage and the planting of the winter rye, 11 megagrams per hectare of composted dairy manure was applied, and this equated to 13.2 kilograms of total phosphorus. And at the beginning of the study, the modified Morgan soil test p-values were all in the low range. They're actually identical for all the plots. So this is a table of the surface mean loads for the study duration. When looking at the individual events, there was a lot of variability between those events. So I summed all of the events together and then took the treatment means. And nitrate, soluble reactive phosphorus, total nitrogen, and total phosphorus were all significantly lower for the cover crop plots compared to the control. This is same idea as the previous table, except that it's the surface and pile combined. And when we did that, we had soluble reactive phosphorus, total phosphorus, and flow were all significantly lower in the cover crop plots. When we just looked at tile, there was no. When we just looked at the tile loads, there was no significant difference between the two treatments. So where did the water go? I just picked 4 events from this past spring: 2 snowmelt events and 2 rainfall events that all had auto samplers deployed. These first two columns right here, just the amount of water that either fell as rain or was available in the snowpack. The next 4 are the measured flows in millimeters from each of the treatments, surface and tile. And it kind of trended, so the snowmelt events, most of the water that exited the pots was through the surface, and then for those 2 rainfall events, it was either split 50-50 or a majority of it was through the tiles. And then the last little column is just the percent of water retained by the soil. So it's just the first number is the percent retained by the cover crop treatment, and then the second is the control. And for 3 out of the 4 events, the cover crop treatment retained more water than the control. So this is the first snowmelt event of the year. It happened at the end of February. So this is surface phosphorus losses from the event. The blue is the cover crop treatment. Black is control. The bars are the soluble reactive phosphorus, and the solid line is total phosphorus. The dotted line is flow. And so with this snowmelt event, the majority, if not all, of the phosphorus that left the plots was as soluble reactive phosphorus. Also, this snowmelt event had 130 millimeters of water available for melting on each plot. About a month after that snowmelt, we had another snowmelt event, similar in that most of the phosphorus that left the field was as soluble reactive phosphorus. Also for this event, nitrate, total nitrogen, total phosphorus, and soluble reactive phosphorus were all significantly lower for the cover crop treatment than compared to the control. And this is likely due to the fact that between that last snowmelt event and this one, there was almost no snow cover, allowing the cover crop to grow, increase ground cover, and take up excess nutrients. This is the surface phosphorus losses from a 1-inch rainstorm that followed immediately after the February snowmelt event. And right away you can see that the soluble reactive phosphorus is a much smaller fraction of the total phosphorus that left the plots, which makes sense, right? When the rainstorm, you have the impact of the raindrops disrupting soil particles, creating erosion. Also, you can see, however, it was not significant, but the total phosphorus for the control plots was slightly greater than the cover, perhaps due to the fact that the cover crop plots had something growing, disrupting the impact of those raindrops hitting the soil. This is the last graph I'll show. This is just another rainfall event, close to an inch of rain. Once again, the soluble reactive phosphorus was a smaller portion of the total phosphorus that exported the plots. Also for this event, the cover crop treatment actually exported more phosphorus than the control. This is likely due to the fact that the plot 4, which was a control, had almost no runoff. The concentrations were nearly identical to the plot 2, but just with no flow, the loadings were quite low. So we're going to move on to some forage data. In 2016, the mean corn silage yields were significantly different, so the cover crop treatment did have significantly lower corn silage yields compared to the control. This was likely due to the fact that the corn was no-tilled into the standing rye. Our crops crew was kind of rushing to get the corn in, so we had no choice. However, this year in 2017, we had more time, and we were able to harvest the rye and then do a light disking prior to planting, and this resulted in no significant difference between the corn silage yields of the cover and control treatments. Also in 2017, the total forage was significantly higher for the cover crop treatment, that is the corn silage plus winter rye compared to just the corn silage from the control treatment. So kind of pulling this all together, some conclusions we drew from this were that when all events were combined, nitrogen phosphorus losses in surface runoff were significantly lower for the cover crop plots compared to the control. However, for nitrogen phosphorus transport through the tiles was more variable, and we hypothesized that a carryover effect from the previous study that had the tile lines of plots 1 and 3 blocked, some sediment came in, deposited in those tiles, and then every subsequent event there was a flush of that sediment, and that kind of inflated our concentrations for those tile lines. However, even with that variability in the tiles, the data collected over the past 2 years does show that the main loss of phosphorus was through the surface, was through surface runoff. And with the ability of cover crops to reduce this P pathway loss, we do recommend using cover crops to control phosphorus loss. And with that, I'll take the questions. Yeah, so I think I talked a little fast.
Great, thank you.
How many rain events did you have in the snowmelt event?
Yeah, so in total there was about 17 events. Most of them were rain events. In 2016, there were some issues with the manholes backing up, filling with water, so we lost those snowmelt events. So we just had the two from 2017. So it was variable depending on the events, but I think in general the concentrations from the cover crop plots were slightly lower than the control for phosphorus.
Oh, still slightly lower. Besides
you've
got higher, less
flow
on the cover crop.
Yes.
You also talking about solid soil. Did you calculate the reactive phosphorus?
No, we did not. Yeah, so right, we ran soluble reactive phosphorus and total phosphorus.
So you do not separate reactive and non-reactive phosphorus?
No.
For your surface runoff collection, mm-hmm. I think you said it was 12 inches by 9
inches. Yep.
So is it open to the air then that you have rainfall going in your pipe?
Yes, so it is. There's a mesh screen that keep leaves and large debris out, but that surface trench could collect direct rainfall.
Okay. Yeah. So you might have, obviously it's consistent across your areas,
yep.
But you do have a little bit of a dilution
effect. Yeah, for the really light rainstorms, probably most of it was just from the trench, and I kind of took that into account when I was taking my samples. So about a meter.
About a meter.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'd just like to thank the Miner Institute and the Northern New York Agriculture Development Program for funding. And thank you for listening.